on this week's episode of the We've Seen That podcast,
I want to play a game.
Love it.
I'm Scott.
I'm Anthony.
And I'm Jim.
We are back for episode 49. You know what that means, boys. One away from the big 50.
Yeah.
Wow. Three away from 1 year of this shit.
Which very is true. So
bananas.
Two of the biggest milestones in the show coming up.
I would say so. Yeah. And that's good because we're going to need a space between to keep that high energy that is coming. Because obviously next week's going to be.
It's going to be electric.
This week will be too, honestly, because this is going to be a hot take episode for sure. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited. Like it doesn't feel like it's been a year quite yet. It
definitely doesn't.
No.
So yeah, and I listened back to our first episode. Jim,
that was Friday the 13th, right? The original.
Correct.
It was Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nightmare on Elm Street. Wow, sorry.
Oh Jesus.
Yeah,
I get them mixed up sometimes.
I know.
Okay, well that's fine, but just wow is all I have to say. But yeah, I mean, you know, nothing really going on in the world right now. Everything's pretty calm. So why don't we just get into what we're watching? And I'm gonna start, boys, because I've got one that I'm kind of obsessed with. Has anyone else seen Manifest?
Nope.
I don't know. I think I've heard of it though. What's it on?
It's on Netflix. The first two seasons are. There is a third season, and that is still airing on TV right now. Basically, the premise of it, these passengers go on a plane, they land the plane, and wow, it's 5 years later. And I'll just leave it at that.
I've definitely seen commercials
for that.
That's
right, yeah. Yep.
It is very good. It is very, very good. The suspense is still building. I'm 12 episodes in right now. Cassie and I are on like a 2-episode-a-night clip. But a lot of fun. The other thing I've been watching, I finished the Fear Street trilogy. And the second one, very, very, very good. The third one, it was pretty good. But the second one was a lot of fun and violent. Very violent. A lot of kids get murdered. A lot.
Right.
And like kids?
Wow.
Kids.
Yeah. Kids?
Yeah, like kids. Like 8 to 12-year-olds slashed.
I was going to say, like, you know, any slasher that's just hacking up teens at a fucking camp is always good.
No teen. I mean, canon, there is teens. But you have kids,
so it's like
too.
If fucking R.L. Stein's whatever. What are those called again?
Goosebumps
were like rated R, and the kids were just like fucking dying.
I remember not liking the like regular books of those, but they always had one of those choose your own adventure books where it was like make this choice, turn to page 305. You know,
dude,
I loved
stuck
those
in that theme park for a long time with that book. I remember
there was one
shit,
where you turned into a rat if you ate some cheese, and I hated that one. Terrified me.
Yeah, there's some really good ones. I always remember fucking one where they're like, there's plants growing in the basement of like this creepy guy's house.
That's
and they,
up.
Do you remember that one? And
yeah,
the plants like came
I,
alive and just started like, they'd like go after you or something. I don't know. It was fucking weird.
So you said that because you knew that R.L. Stein wrote the series, right?
Yeah. Well, because that was always like the tagline too. It was like R.L. Stein's Goosebumps or something, I'm pretty sure.
But you knew he did Fear Street too, right?
Oh, no. I did not.
That's where I'm like, Anthony, holy shit. Yeah, dude, R.L. Stein wrote Fear Street. And I'm sitting here like, does he know? Like, because
really
that is, what a fucking pull. Like, this was like his rated R version.
I should have just played it off. And that's, you know, he's got to, He just wants to go after fucking terrified kids, I guess. I can respect that.
Dude. Yeah. Wow. never a dull moment.
No, I mean, I'm glad I could pull that off because I just put the two and two together after you said he was, you know, hacking up kids in his second film. So it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. No.
What's the premise of the third one?
The third one is the 1666. So it's the origin story of how it all started. And then it goes back to 1994 part two halfway through that movie. So, the 70s had awesome music.
So there's really four movies. It's just that the third one is split in two and is one runtime.
The fourth one,
or the third one, excuse me.
Yeah, the third, I mean, like, it splits at, like, the hour and 20-minute mark. So you get, like, a half hour of 94 Part 2. But the end scene of that is a ton of fun. It's in a mall, and it involves, like, a lot of neon light type shit. It's pretty fun. So the whole series, I'll do each movie. The first movie was a 6 out of 10. The second, I'm going to give an 8. And the third, I'll give a 7.
You know you can't rattle those off like that.
6, 8, 7.
Okay, perfect.
There you go. Right. Jim's got to keep the... All right. Do you have it in like a spreadsheet?
Yeah, it's in a Google Sheets.
Of course he does.
I know.
Like, there's probably VLOOKUPs in there.
Well, I'm just curious.
Why would there be VLOOKUPs in this?
How many movies we've mentioned total, like including reviews? Ooh. I think we asked that question another time. By the way, I think we're due for some trivia. I got a title to defend here. I'm thinking maybe next week.
I think that's going to be a part of episode 50.
I can write some trivia. I mean,
we could do some.
Can we?
We've revealed what we're watching for episode 50, haven't we, Fellowship?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We should twice do some now. Lord of the Rings Hobbit trivia. I know Jim could probably stump us. I like to think I'm somewhat of a decent trivia for that sort of genre, but I'm sure Jim,
I also have a total for a number of movies. We have talked about 127 unique movies. That includes what we talk about on what we're watching.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow. So look at us. Dude, Paul Rudd, verbal Paul Rudd. Look at us.
Look at us as he's twisting off a bottle. Who would have thought? Not me.
Who would have thought?
That's a,
all right, that's Anthony, let's go to you, because I am very interested in what we're watching.
Oh, this movie fucking kicked ass, dude.
Did it?
So good. Way better than it should be, in my opinion.
Awesome.
Free guy.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds, amazing. Dude,
the reviews have been high as fuck on that.
I gave it an 8 out of 10. I don't want to... it's not really spoiling. You find out he's, you know he's a like an NPC in like this video game world, but I don't know. It literally has everything. It has comedy, it has like some sort of love drama, but also like super high stakes. You know, like the world's gonna be destroyed essentially, and like all those guys will be erased. But it's amazing. Ryan Reynolds is on top of his game, and there's some awesome just like little Easter egg like things while he's like fighting at the end that just make you laugh so much. Like a couple
lots of good video game references,
yeah, and like, you know, comic book references and stuff like that. It's I one in particular I was literally just dying laughing, because we went and saw it actually last Thursday after we got them recording. I went up to La Crosse and watched the 8:45 showing at Marcus.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it was really good, and like I said, way better than I honestly thought it could ever be. So all of like the they did a shit ton of advertising for this movie. I don't know, it's part of the reason like the first
it's all over social media right now too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like I don't know if it's still only available in theaters, but at least that first original night I think was their big pull to get people back. I think it was only to be seen in theaters, but yeah, it's fucking awesome. It's really good.
Would you put that higher than Suicide Squad?
Oh yeah, for easily.
There you go.
Suicide Squad, like we said, was not bad. It was just not as good as we thought it should be, but this exceeded my expectations, you know.
I believe Free Guy is still exclusively in theaters.
Is it? Yeah. So if you guys, if anyone's like feeling up for it or just gets a chance to go see it, I recommend it. It's a great, fun movie to watch in theaters too. It was, the theater was actually like, there's a lot of laughter, so it was kind of a fun environment for people. Yeah, really good.
That certainly makes it more fun to watch that kind of movie.
Yeah. It was awesome.
We're back.
We are back.
Did we ever leave?
All right, Jim. Yeah, we did. We did. Jim, what'd you watch?
So I didn't watch any movies this week because I suck, but I watched some TV shows. First one I'll talk about is What If. This is the new Marvel show on Disney Plus. It's animated. Do you guys care about spoilers?
No.
No, I'm more or less just interested in what it's about.
So the very first episode, it's what if Peggy Carter jumped into the super soldier thing instead of Steve Rogers. So she becomes Captain Carter instead of having Captain America. Hydra still gets the Tesseract in that one. But then they open a portal to let out like a tentacle monster, kind of like at the end of the first Hellboy movie. And she gets sucked into the portal where Nick Fury eventually lets her out 70 years later to have her be the first Avenger. I haven't watched it yet, but the second episode is what if T'Challa, so Black Panther, was abducted by the Ravagers instead, Yondu, and became Star-Lord instead of Peter Quill.
Nice.
So that one's on my backlog. The other show I've been watching a lot lately, and I know I've brought this before to the show, but I wanted to talk about it again, is Titans. It's the DC show based around the crime-fighting group called Titans. They have Beast Boy, Raven, Wonder Girl, Hawk and Dove, as well as Nightwing, who are part of the team. But they just dropped the first three episodes of season three. Fourth one comes out tonight, August 19th, while we're recording. But they're bringing in some major characters. Like, they've brought in Batgirl, but if anyone's familiar with, what's it called, with DC Comics lore, there's a point where Batgirl gets shot by the Joker through her spine, where she then becomes paralyzed and takes on a different role called Oracle, where she runs the Bat computer while the Bat family is out fighting crime. So in this one, she is in a wheelchair at this point. I don't know if in continuity if they ever fix her or if it's just that they reboot at one point and go back to pre. That series is called The Killing Joke, where she gets shot.
Wasn't that...
So I'm not sure if she'll ever stand in this show.
Did that happen in that TV movie they did for that?
In the animated The Killing Joke? Yeah, they did. But that is an atrocity that we don't talk about here. That movie fucking sucks.
I thought that was supposed to be good.
They make Batgirl Batman's like little concubine, and that's not the way it's supposed to be.
Oh.
Not in the slightest. So they really screwed up one of the greatest Batman stories of all time.
Right.
But I guess, so, yeah. Also, they have another Robin named Jason Todd on this show. He eventually gets killed by the Joker and comes back as a different hero, and they're building up to that in season three here, which is very exciting. Because the character he becomes, Red Hood, is one of my all-time favorites.
Is that, that's still, like, streaming on, like, cable television, is it not?
This is HBO.
Oh, it's all on HBO? Or is there, like, a live... they're still making, obviously, new seasons, right?
Yeah, it's still going, and they're dropping them weekly to the streaming. I don't have, like, HBO via my cable, so, like, I have no idea if they're, like, broadcasting it on, like, the HBO channel. What I can tell you is the very first season was originally just on DC Universe, which was a streaming service for just DC Comics properties, which promptly folded when they announced HBO Max. And so they brought it all over here for season two and three.
Cool.
But the first season kind of ends in the middle of fucking nowhere, but season two is amazing. And thus far, season three has been great. So big time recommend if you have HBO and you like DC comic book characters.
Yeah.
And they cast Sir Jorah Mormont as Bruce Wayne / Batman. For an older, grizzled Batman, I think he is the perfect casting, like, without any sort of question. He plays it so incredibly well.
Right. Yeah, I think that guy's... What I remember is... It's like Ian Gillen or something is
the Ian Glenn.
Glenn, yeah. He was always great in Game of Thrones, so to see him pick up some sort of, like, voice acting, he always had a great, like, character voice, you know? I could see that for sure.
Yeah, the hardest thing about the show is the more they show him, and as much as I love him in the role, the more I just want them to do a gritty, dark Batman series.
Yeah.
Which is the problem they have with all of these, because they're also introducing Superboy, so therefore there's a Superman connection. They had Wonder Girl already, so there's a Wonder Woman connection. It's like, let's just figure this shit out.
Right, right.
But with that...
Yeah! Cheesing it. I love it.
Dude, I didn't know that was coming, so that actually is nice. That is the hype horn. Jim, on this list, where do you want to start? Anthony Mackie, let's start there.
Yeah, we'll start at the top of the list. Seems like a very good place to begin. So Anthony Mackie has officially been cast for Captain America in Captain America 4. Surprise, surprise.
Get the fuck out.
Really?
I can't believe this. I just really had no idea this was coming.
I can't believe they've done this.
I'm so excited just to see how they bring together the shows and the movies, you know?
Because I think the thing is, I want them to do this Captain Carter thing in live action now. Because, yeah. Like, I really liked the little animated episode they did, but I want to see it. And I want her to have, like, her own fucking movie now that we're moving into a multiverse territory.
Right.
Okay.
Do you think that's because why this What If show was created at this time?
I think that's exactly why. It's to introduce to younger audiences the idea of a multiverse. They do a big monologue at the beginning from Jeffrey Wright.
And it'll be, at least the Black Panther one will be cool, because I believe that is still Chadwick Boseman, right? Like, one of his final.
It is, correct. It's like his final voice acting role or final Marvel appearance.
Mm. Yeah, that'll be cool.
Yep, so Anthony Mackie is going to continue to be Captain America. Cash those big old paychecks.
Fuck yeah.
They are working on a Pet Sematary prequel, apparently. It's a prequel to the remake of the movie with the guy who was in that Tom Hardy movie where they were moonshining.
Oh, yeah.
Cillian Murphy.
No.
Yeah.
Plays, like, technically the older brother.
Yeah, exactly.
But I can't think of his name now, of course, the actor.
Yeah, and my internet sucks so bad, I'm not going to look it up.
Shame.
Oh.
Venom 2 has been delayed from October 2nd to October 15, and there are rumors that it may get pushed even further.
Why is that?
Because of Delta variant. However, it sounds like Universal has pretty much stood pat on James Bond is not moving any further. So
where is that one at now?
I believe that's like October 22nd.
Oh my god, I forgot about that movie.
Jason Clark.
That's his name.
Jason
that is
Clark.
Correct.
Yeah, there it is.
Thank you for doing that. No Nerf is making a pulse blaster like from the Alien movies to commemorate the anniversary of Alien coming out, because it's like the 35th anniversary or something.
Are you going to buy this?
I fucking love
I'm not
that
saying movie. I'm going to buy it. I just think it's cool.
Yeah.
That is we have sweet. Nerf guns in this house, but whenever I bring them out, I get yelled at.
It's as long as we don't shoot it, because we're underneath the reactor, Jim.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh. Yeah, or above the reactor, however they wanted to put it. So go into a hive nest full of aliens. Granted, they may have not known exactly what they're
and then don't shoot them.
But then you're not allowed to fight back. Okay, cool.
Fair enough.
Sounds about right.
So the next thing we got is Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston are both returning for Murder Mystery 2 on Netflix.
Has anyone seen Murder Mystery 1?
I did.
No, I just think it's funny because Adam Sandler movie, you know, he just cranks these out a few a year, all exclusively for Netflix now, it seems.
He's probably cashing checks.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
Respect the
hustle. Well, it's been talked about on other pods, so it's not an original thought, but he basically gets to make these movies, go on a vacation with all of his friends, and get them all a paycheck, too, so it's like, who wouldn't want to sign up to be in an Adam Sandler movie? Jennifer Aniston likes money. We know it. She got like $1 million an episode for the final season of Friends.
Is that actually true?
Yeah, I believe they all got $1 million an episode for the final season.
That can't be right.
It's a lot of money back then for a TV show. Yeah,
it's a lot of money right now.
How many episodes are there a season? Like 26?
Like 24.
There's no way they each got $1 million. That has to be a myth, Jim. It has to be a myth. Do you know how much money that is?
It's a really popular show.
Is it worth $125 million?
I don't know. But
I think you misunderstand how popular that show was in the 90s.
I get it, but my God, a million an episode. Like, I'm in the wrong career. I'm in the wrong career.
Figure it out, Scott.
God damn. I can't. I'm trying. That's what this...
During the first season, they were reportedly all paid $22,500 an episode.
That would be
still insane.
Quite the pay raise, if that was the case.
Wow.
My goal is to ultimately voice Optimus Prime in the upcoming, you know, animated series that they ever do. So
I'm behind that.
Okay. I mean, you might be in a on a small list there. I can't imagine there's like that many people that want to do that.
But my favorite thing is when we were driving to your wedding and we made Robert listen to it for the first time, and he's like, "What is that?" I'm like, "What do you mean?"
It's Anthony.
Yeah, he's like, "Why does it sound so professional?"
According to thetab.com, for the two final seasons, all cast members made $1 million an episode.
Insane. Christ. And when you say all cast, you just mean the main six? The
Friends.
Six?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well.
So for the two seasons, each of them made $42 million for seasons 9 and 10.
Why would you ever want the show to end? Just make
fucking
shitloads of money.
I mean, it was definitely on a downhill slide, that's for sure.
I suppose, but... Well, yeah.
Anyways, last piece of hype. Sylvester Stallone has confirmed that an Expendables spinoff will start filming in October. Working title, Christmas Story.
The fuck? I don't know if this will be the actual title of the movie, but... I can't imagine what this is going to be.
That's got to be some sort of joke amongst all these old action stars.
Anthony, did you just see that too?
What?
Was Jim like turning into a million pieces into the universe on your
video? Was he pixelated? I don't know. He looked pretty full to me.
Oh my god, okay. Alright, so that
I'm not sure if I should be offended or not, saying I look pretty full.
Jim,
dude. Well, just picture quality. You weren't pixeled.
I'll appreciate that.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, you were flying all over my screen. But yeah, I'm excited. Well, am I excited for this?
Of course.
Yeah.
No
I'll
doubt.
I'll probably watch it.
I like watching dumb action movies.
Do you remember that movie theater that was up by Chuck E. Cheese back in the day, Scott, in Alaska?
Yeah, Cinema Regal or something like that.
So shitty. But the last movie I saw there, I think, was Expendables 3 or something.
Do you remember?
Did they really make three of those?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I saw all of them in theater at least once.
We were going to see the new Paranormal Activity, and that was when Michigan State threw that Hail Mary against Wisconsin.
Fuck.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Sorry.
Remember looking, we were at that theater, and we were on the phones, and then I saw that the ESPN shows that line that just goes across, and it just said touchdown and zeros and the game over, and I just remember about ready to throw my phone through the screen of the movie.
After that, we had to sit through like a 90-minute movie, Anthony sitting behind me absolutely fuming
pissed.
The entire time. Didn't enjoy the movie.
No,
because
that's when we had Russell Wilson, the one time to actually be good, and you lose like that.
On a fluke.
Couldn't happen.
Was he really a Badger? Now he plays for the Seahawks, right?
Yeah, for 1 year.
Dude, Jim, nice job. Nice.
Good I got goal. A Packer schedule sent to me by my real estate agent. It is diligently hanging on my fridge.
Nice.
You know what's awesome? All those real estate ones, you know, like, they can't use the team's advertising. So, like, though, it'll say, like, Green Bay football team, and it won't have...
Yeah, and it's logo, green and yellow which, all over, but it does not say the Packers anywhere.
Oh, really?
Packers. Nope.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and it'll say, like... New York instead of the New York Giants, or you know, like, because they can't use the actual logos, so
nice.
It's just their way of saying buy a house from me, basically.
Yeah, they want their face up in your house for when your friends come over and say like, oh, you bought such a nice house, you know, who'd you buy it from or via.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw our realtor under the bus. He didn't do a damn thing. We were just in a hot housing market. This is the easiest job in the world right now. Like, it really is. No offense to any real estate brokers, but some offense because next year
somebody wants to buy a house, they're going to buy a house. Is that basically?
That's right.
Yeah.
It's they're not even showing them. They're just like, oh, I think you're like the first one to see it. It's gone. That's their job.
Well, right and now. Yeah, they always say like, you know, the seller pays for the buyer's agent, which is the biggest pile of bullshit you've ever heard. Because, you know, in reality, the seller is going to adjust their price for the fact that they, quote-unquote, have to pay the buyer's agent.
Yeah,
so I'm still paying for it just over the course of 30 years.
It's so absurd to me that like, these people are walking out with, like, 15 grand of this purchase. I just, sometimes I can't handle it. But, anyway, next year when the housing market inevitably crashes... Realtors, you will struggle. So
yeah, no when offense. You and I are underwater on our mortgages.
I don't think so. I hope not.
I hope not too. I hope it just keeps going up.
That's God. The sky's the limit, right, Joe?
I'll be paying. Fucking the ceiling is the roof, right, MJ?
Dude, Jim, has this happened to you too? Your friends who are kind of like in the housing market, they are just suddenly know-it-alls, and they just know that the market's going to crash, and like next year they'll get your same house for like 50 grand less. Has that been happening to you too?
Not in the slightest. None of my friends are quite that put together yet.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. Ooh! You are, though. That's nice. The important thing.
Yeah.
You know,
anyway.
Not everyone's ready to buy a house right this very second, which is fine. And I hope that it goes down a little bit so that people can buy them.
Nah, keep going up. Anyway, let's get into Saw. The masterpiece created by, why is his name
James
gone
Wan.
Now? James Wan. Also created Fast and Furious,
right? I wouldn't say created. He just became one of the directors along the way.
Oh,
like for like, ones. Wasn't it like 7 and 8 that he directed or something like that? Way late in the series.
I think it might have just been 7. I think, and 7 was a fucking banger. So, way to go, James Wan. But Jim, let's hear this synopsis from Wikipedia.
Yep, we're doing the Wikipedia one. Saw is a 2004 American horror film directed by James Wan in his feature directorial debut and written by Lee Wanell from a story by Wan and Wanell. It is the first installment in the Saw film series and stars Wanell, Cary Elwes, Danny Glover, Monica Potter, Michael Emerson, Ken Leung, and Tobin Bell. The film tells a non-linear narrative revolving around the mystery of the Jigsaw Killer, who tests his victims' will to live by putting them through deadly games where they must inflict great physical pain upon themselves to survive. The frame story follows Jigsaw's latest victims, Wanell and Elwes, who awaken in a large dilapidated bathroom, with one being ordered to kill the other to save his own family.
Is that actually accurate? I thought that if Cary Elwes killed Wanell, then he got to leave. I thought that it wasn't two ways, was it?
That's what, I don't know, his tape said at the beginning, but yeah, it all gets jumbled.
Yeah, I don't think there's any real objective for Wanell.
Okay, let's just start with this trap. The first, you know, you got Cary Elwes and Lee Wanell waking up in this bathroom. I want to call bullshit on the first scene. Lee Wanell's key goes down the drain.
Well, yeah, it does show
that
later on.
Yeah.
It's not meant to be fair. He didn't have to pull the plug in order to get out of that bathtub.
I think the plug was hooked to his foot.
Well, it was, but, you know, I guess he's supposed to just not freak the fuck out after waking up unconscious in a bathtub full
he's
of water.
He's coming into consciousness.
And he was underwater already. So, yeah. Even when you're unconscious, you're breathing. So, in theory, he should have drowned.
Yeah, there's a lot of flaws with this opening scene. But, yes, this floating object goes down the drain, and that is his only way out of that chain. Gordon, who is played by Cary Elwes, he never even has a key. So the only way he was ever getting out of it was cutting his foot off. Spoiler alert, Saw, with a saw. But I just have as I rewatch this movie, every time I do, which has probably been, Christ, 40 times. I don't know.
It makes me upset that they get hacksaws and not jigsaws.
We were 10 years old when this movie came out.
And we watched it when we were 10 years old.
I'm sure we did.
That's
this movie freaked
up.
Me the fuck out as a kid.
Yeah, I mean, it has some really dark tones in it, like some camera shots that are, you know, like dark green, and like it's rough.
It's a vibe.
Yeah.
Not a good one, that's for sure.
So, but let's get into this right away, Jim. Let's talk about why Gordon and Adam are in the trap that they are.
So Gordon is there because he was cheating on his wife.
Correct. Except according to Cary Elwes, I did not cheat on her! But he did. He definitely
Yeah,
did.
Because at some point there's a flashback to him meeting her in this really, really terrible motel. Or hotel, excuse me. The hallways were on the inside.
There you go.
And I was texting with Scott leading up to the podcast this week. I'm like, you can't just ask your mistress to show up in some shithole when you're a doctor on the very first meetup. You got to build your way up to it. Start with really swanky places before you ever show up in the crappy joints.
So this was definitely a repeat for sure. I agree.
So I 100% think he did cheat on his wife.
Yeah. Okay. Jim, is that grounds to die?
Depends who you talk to, I guess.
I'm talking to you.
Probably not. No.
Well, okay, I think good. The point, yes, 99% of the people die, but the point
if
is...
If I was a totally unhinged serial killer, I might have a different answer.
Trying to teach them valuable lessons by giving them an opportunity to live through making painful choices.
Yeah, because I'd if be there's one thing that's true, it's that Dr. Gordon 100% wants back to his normal life after this experience.
Right.
I'd be fine with it. Except in the second movie, directly said to Donnie Wahlberg, which we're going to have to do that one in the future because of Donnie Wahlberg.
Thank God.
He states, I have never killed anyone in my life. That is total bullshit.
Well,
like,
I mean, technically.
No, Anthony, no. He put poison in, like, this guy's lungs. Like, he is a murderer. Like... This argument.
Yeah, but he provides them an option to get the antidote, so he doesn't believe himself to be a murderer. But that's his twisted interpretation.
Okay, let's get into the other three traps that we had in the movie, which I will then introduce what I'm going to talk about, my man Danny Glover. So do you want to start with Amanda?
Might
I think
as well.
We should, yeah.
Just the only survivor.
Okay, so the entire time this movie is going on, we are introduced to Detective Tapp, who is played by Danny Glover, who, I mean, he's just...
He's not too old to shit, old for that shit yet.
No,
totally fucking butchered that.
And my God, the scene with Amanda, there's one of my favorite lines in the movie, but basically he wants Dr. Gordon there, who's stuck in the room, because he's convinced that Dr. Gordon is doing all these killings. Because... Dr. Gordon's pen light is just left outside of a murder scene, which, you know what, I'm all with Danny Glover here. Like, how could it fucking not be him?
Yeah, I mean,
if
that's
his pen
logical,
light,
you know, just following your clues, you know.
Right, but
I don't think that's a slam dunk though by any means. Like, I lose pens all the fucking time.
But
Jim,
the
pen light was next to an eye hole,
or other people fucking steal my pens too.
Well,
walk away with
them and then.
You gotta follow the flips. You gotta follow the tracks. I agree, Scott.
Yes.
I'm not saying it was inappropriate to interview him or have him watch this video of them with Amanda. I'm just saying that this pen light is in no way a slam dunk.
Okay, but yes, he makes him stay behind and watch Amanda tell her story of how she got out of a jigsaw trap, leading to one of my favorite lines in the movie, when he sits Amanda down and Danny Glover just goes, "You are, in fact, a drug addict." That is one of the best lines of the movie. Because the way he just delivers it, he's like, "You are, in fact, a drug addict." And you're like, what a fucking asshole. But Amanda is in a trap because she was a heroin addict. Jim, qualified to be in a trap for being a heroin addict?
I mean, it's not a good thing to do, but I kind of stand on the side of kind of do what you want as long as you're not hurting other people.
I mean...
Yeah, we're just...
You know,
I mean,
some
this
sort
is
of
the...
intervention or class is probably a better option, but...
Let me specify
but
or state this for all of them. I'm not a deranged serial killer.
Yeah,
I guess so. Fair enough. But yeah, so Amanda, she needs to basically get a key out of a guy's stomach who Jigsaw says in the tape that he's dead. Guess what? He's alive.
Yeah, just
so...
paralyzed because he's like overdosed on drugs.
So she rips his insides out, which this is the grossest scene of the movie. There's just hanging red balls, and it's gross. It's disgusting.
They're supposed to be intestines.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great. But she gets out of the trap and wins. Then we get a puppet pushed out.
On a tricycle, right?
Yeah. As I saw it as a 10-year-old, horrified me. As I see it now, how did we engineer this? Oh, you are introduced later that John Kramer is a famed civil engineer, of course, because he's got to fund this shit somehow. But yeah, so she then says, he helped me. So the whole idea here is, like, This is John's claim to fame. Like, he cured Amanda's drug addictness. You'll learn later in movies she still cuts herself. So she gets put in like three other traps because...
Yeah, which is why one of the other guys was in the trap in this movie.
Okay, and let's get into that one. This guy sticks a razor across his wrist.
One time.
And once.
I think it was just one time. And
let me... This tape was so aggressively asshole by Jigsaw. It was like, "Hello, Paul. Did you cut yourself because blah, blah, blah? Or blah, blah?" Like, he was just so cocky.
Did you actually want to die? Or did you do it just for attention? Yeah, like...
Yeah. So he puts him in this massive razor wire trap, which I don't think that one was winnable, in my opinion. I just don't.
Apparently there was a path through...
Yeah, and then he put a timeline on it, or a time limit on it, too. He had to do it by 3 o'clock, or he would have been sealed into the room forever.
That was probably... That's one of the grosser traps. And then... Alright, let's get into it, because this one, this is the one. Then we have a guy who was put in a trap because he skipped work. And that is the only explanation you get, is that he skipped work.
That's the only explanation in this movie.
Okay.
In Saw 5, they talk about it again, apparently. Supposedly was skipping work to go to the hospital because he thought he was sick or was faking being sick. So he consumed a hospital bed that then someone who needed it couldn't use, or was committing insurance fraud to one degree or another. While Jigsaw, who we find out is being treated for cancer at the same hospital, sees him there and gets upset because he's insulted by the fact that this guy wouldn't want to be out in the world when that's anything Jigsaw would... He'd give anything to do that himself.
Yeah, I mean, like, eventually in later movies, they make him actually teaching lessons to people who I would think more deserve it. Like, there's one where all these people covered up insurance fraud and burned down a building that, like, people died in. That's fair. Like, they are total scumbags. But, like, this movie, they made a few mistakes. And, like, this guy skipped work, and the other guy cut himself once. Like, Jesus Christ. So, anyway, I think the narrative changes in the second movie when he tries to go the whole "I'm not a murderer." In this one, he's just pretty sadistic and pretty fucked up. So,
I mean, I think the fact of the matter is he's fucked up, period, regardless of whether or not he's trying to teach people lessons.
Yeah, but Jim, there was a following of people for a while who were like, you know, this Jigsaw killer, he kind of makes some good points. And if you rewatch this movie, no, he doesn't. But like,
yeah, this is the other ones, the weakest in terms of that.
Right.
I'm not saying that the others are really like great movies, because eventually they just get beyond off the rails.
Right.
Yeah.
God. But there's a couple reaches here, I'll give you that. Like, it's just, we can chalk it up to him. He's just perfecting his craft at this point.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and Adam's young. Only in his trap for taking pictures of Dr. Gordon, you know, so he just wanted them across the room from each other.
Yeah.
So I think that's the bigger one, where it's like, what the hell are you doing?
And, you know, the pictures being taken were hired by Detective Tapp. He was the one who wanted Adam to do this. I want to go on with the story of Detective Tapp, though, because basically he makes this his life. Like, he makes finding this Jigsaw killer his absolute life. And how he finds out where Jigsaw is pretty incredible. So he's rewatching the Jigsaw tape with the puppet in it and notices some graffiti of the K2K gang, who only controls 4 blocks of this town.
Yeah, I felt like not very big or powerful gang if they only got 4 blocks.
That's what I'm saying. And Agent Singh just goes, they control like 4 blocks of territory. It's like, what the fuck?
Not that like, much. Well, so, aren't they hear something in the background too?
Yeah, they hear a fire alarm, so they pull up records of fire responses at that,
right,
within those 4 blocks.
So we then get them into this lair, and sure enough, like, they find a guy under a cloak who's about to be killed in a trap as well. And then they hear Jigsaw coming, and for whatever fucking reason, Danny Glover says, I want to see what he's going to do. And, like, as I rewatch this movie, I'm just like, my God, it could have all ended right here. Like, we would have had no more if Glover was just like, fuck you, and put two in his chest. Game over.
Literally. Right, because Jigsaw was not prepared coming out of that freight elevator.
No, because, well, I don't know. That's where I'm kind of, the jury is still out. Is he such a mastermind that he knew that Danny Glover was going to find him? I don't think so.
I think he just continually starved people in that trap so that he had someone prepared. That's my thought.
Yeah. So, thus leading to what I would argue the kill of the entire franchise, Jigsaw is running away into this hallway, and Agent Singh is moving cobwebs out of the way, but it's attached to a tripwire with a shower of shotguns. This kill is phenomenal, in my opinion. Like, it, this is, of the rest, yeah, it is art. Like, they spent a lot of money on this.
This was brutal. And this is after Jigsaw slices Danny Glover's Detective Tapp's throat. So I can't get over the fact of how ridiculous Danny Glover looks, like, running through these hallways, chasing after them, just holding his
when his trachea has been cut open,
bleeding to death.
He's bleeding out.
God, I have the worst son here ever. Sorry, listeners.
There it is.
You can see me. I was like glared up like a motherfucker.
He keeps getting darker, but yeah.
I want you guys to see me. That's all.
And so, yeah, that just makes Danny Glover even worse. Like, he's obsessing over Dr. Gordon's apartment, like, looking across the street, whatever. Eventually, the end game of this movie is based on the fact that Dr. Gordon's family is being watched by Zepp, who is, like...
Also been poisoned.
Yeah, he's been poisoned. There's a slow-acting poison coursing through his veins. And his job is, I guess, to kill the mother and daughter if Lawrence doesn't...
If he runs out of time. Or doesn't kill Adam.
So why do the mother and daughter need to die, Jigsaw? Because what did they do? She's just getting cheated on. And the other one's a little girl. Like... Anyway,
well, I think they were probably just a means. I mean, this guy's using everybody. Like, who knows if...
That's true.
You could just tell somebody that you've injected them with some sort of slow-acting poison, and you could probably just convince them to do whatever
you want. And see how far you can manipulate them.
Right?
That's true.
I think he's just the ultimate manipulator, really.
And who knows if he even put the poison in him.
Right.
That's a good point. So eventually this lead... Like, the time is running out. The wife escapes, hits Zepp. Glover sees a gunshot, and so Danny Glover starts coming after Zepp. Thus leading to Zepp is driving to
the bathroom
abandoned
is.
Warehouse, wherever this bathroom is. Is this one of the worst driving scenes of all time?
It is the worst.
Because it's pretty choppy.
It is so bad, and you can tell they're not moving. Like, you can absolutely tell this car never moved.
Well, and they just, like, speed the camera up, and it shows, like... I don't know why they felt the need to, like, make them look like they're going so fast in the screen, because, like, Zepp, like, pulls into the parking lot, and then the camera speeds up, and he really only goes, like, 10 feet, but it makes it look like he's driving, like, 1,000 miles per hour, and he parks it. It was pretty...
The movie was made super cheap.
It's pretty 2004.
They had a budget of $1.2 million, and it was shot in 18 days.
Do you know what it grossed?
But grossed over more than $100 million, it says here, worldwide.
Yeah. This is a very good success story of a horror movie that was different, obviously. Like, it kind of changed the game a little bit, but it was new. And we were craving something new because at the time... The only other horror movie that had come out recently was Freddy vs. Jason, which... Well,
not a good one.
Yeah, no. I mean, this kind of goes into what I was gonna say, but I'll just talk about it right now if you want. It just spawns, like, a different kind of horror, like a gory, you know, super over-the-top gore horror, I guess,
Way to put it. And, like, it didn't start that way. One and two... was an appropriate amount of gore, in my opinion. You know, like, it didn't get really bad until 3 and 4, when we were ripping fucking limbs off and shit. Like,
there's the one where they pull the ribs out of the person with chains. That one's fun.
That's the start of 3. Yeah, so 1 and 2 to me were still scary somewhat. 3 to
8
I guess you could say they're not scary anymore. They're just dark and
trying to one up torture the last porn. One. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And when you got Chester from Linkin Park in a trap, that's when you know you've gone too far. And that's what saw the last 7 or and the final chapter, are they the same? Are 7 in the final chapter the same?
No, I thought it was 8 was the final chapter.
Eighth one. Yeah.
I think we go 1 through 6, 7's the final chapter, and then Jigsaw was 8.
No, I think Jigsaw and Spiral are separate, so technically there's like 10 films, I believe.
Oh my god.
In total.
Okay.
Correct.
And we're not done, because apparently there's going to be a sequel to Chris Rock's Spiral as well.
Did you like that?
I loved the ending, but it was a lot. I still need to see it. No, I think I gave it a 6 out of 10, which is appropriate. But anyway, Danny Glover's character does eventually die, not before ripping off the line of, "I'm going to kill you, you sick asshole," which for decades I have not been able to figure out if he's saying, "you sick asshole" or "you sick ass-ho." I can't decide. And I'm not even going to turn on the subtitles to figure it out.
No,
it's a beautiful
mystery.
I'm
just going to go with the latter just because that makes it much more entertaining.
Confirmed, so, you did so give Spiral a 6.
6. See how good memory, yeah. Good memory, Scott.
Look at that. Look at that. Not all 10s in this chamber here. Before you talk about your part here, Anthony, the game in the bathroom to me is the best parts of the movie because the dialogue isn't awful. There are some unnecessary comedy bits from Adam of, you know, "I don't care if you covered yourself in peanut butter and had a 15 hooker gangbang." That is too far, but still kind of funny, I guess. But I enjoyed the, you know, X marks the spot where they're finding clues. They try to kill him with a cigarette. Okay, here's the one question I have, though. How is he being electrocuted? Is it through the floor or is it through the chain?
Through the chain, I would say.
Is that possible?
Chain is metal.
So wouldn't that mean it's not possible?
No, I mean,
if it was rubber, it would not be possible.
Right.
That's what that is. Yeah, okay. Dumb moment of the week right there. Oh boy. Metal can conduct electricity. Anyway,
also, Anthony, if you guys are curious, I have the count on 10s right now.
For what?
Okay.
I've given 3, Anthony has given 7, Scott has given 8.
Oh, I remember the joke was that we always said Scott gave so many 10s, but I actually had more than him at one point, and we just...
Yeah,
you did. Scott passed but me, though. But I did what that because me? You guys were well, talking about it for a minute.
I haven't given a 10 since, though, have I? What set me over the top?
You gave a 10 to Signs.
Oh,
I'm fine.
I bitched out.
Anthony only gave it a 9.
Yeah.
There we go. All right, that's fine. That's like a 10
I had
to give.
Yeah, I'm okay with that, so. Scott. That one doesn't count.
Yeah.
I bitched out on that one.
But anyway, sorry to derail us a little bit.
Anthony, this is your time.
My time to
take us home.
No, yeah, it's not. Yeah. I'm not going to get too into it because we kind of dove into a lot of the movie already, but I just wanted to talk about, like, just the twist, you know? And how big of, like, a moment it was in, really, film history. Because, to me, first time seeing it, this is one of the greatest twists in any movie I've ever seen.
I couldn't believe my eyes, I feel like, the first time I saw it.
Because they did such a great job of just, like, you know...
He's dead.
Yeah. You see John in different parts of the movie. Well, I don't even know if you ever actually do see his face, but either way...
You do when he's laying in bed and Dr. Gordon is talking about him because Zep then comes in and says, "Hey, his name is John."
Right.
You see his face, though, only in the flashback as the tape is playing. The first time, you do not see
right.
him. So they purposely hid him the entire movie until... They said, "This is John," and then they flashed the camera on him. So even when Zep was in, he was like, "His name is John." Like, that, he's a very interesting person type shit. that did not show his face. They waited till the end, just in case.
Right.
And that's the detail that you needed,
and it's,
I think.
I don't know. They just did, like, so many times, and I bet if I really... I don't even know. Like, we just rewatched it, and there's really no clear-cut hints that... you know, point to him being the guy laying in the middle of the room covered in blood, you know, that looks like he blew his brains out. Like, everything is just, you know, and it helps the way James Wan did it with the non-linear storytelling, you know, everything, you don't really know where you're at. You're kind of set in this delirious state, which is, I think, is perfect for the tone of the movie, because these guys wake up in the dark, and I can't get over how Adam, he's the one that gets locked in the Adam, right? That's his name.
Yeah, he gets shut.
Yeah, he, you know, it's, it almost is like the whole movie is set up by when they turn the lights on finally in the bathroom, and I just thought it was funny, like each light turning on and Adam's just like, you know, like getting blinded each way. That's like almost how you're supposed to feel while you're watching the movie, just in a constant state of like disarray, because it's all over the place, but not, and not too erratic though. Like, that was why this movie is such a classic, at least the first one.
But yeah, I guess, think that's a really apt description. I like it.
Yeah, and like, just the moment he stands up and that tape is playing and you get like the entire like rundown of like where you are and everything that happened leading up to it is just like the ultimate payoff. And then it just ends with that classic game over badass door shutting, and it's like, you're, and it just, it's over then. Like, you're just locked in the darkness like Adam was, and you're like, you're just, nothing you can do except sit there when the credits roll, just shocked. And I just thought that it was so powerful the first time, and like, it definitely is what, you know, made this movie so successful and propelled them to make countless more.
Well, whether it was, or not, so original too. Yeah, you know, I mean, no one ever, they tell you from the get-go this guy's dead, and all of a sudden the dead body just stands up in the middle of the room at the end. It's, no one ever thinks to question it, and it's not, like you said, there's no clues in the movie, so it's like, that's why it's so incredibly successful.
The only clue that I could think of rewatching it was how the one time they made the description about how he's a sick fucker that likes to watch. So whether or not you were just thinking of him watching them on camera, which they kind of make it look like,
yeah, which they kind of explain away, they say that it's probably just because of the camera, so he's watching from somewhere else,
right? But in this way, he's literally watching from the room, which, to think about it that way, is pretty fucking insane.
Whether, yeah, it makes it funnier when they tried to fake Gordon killing Adam with the poisoned cigarette,
right? Because they try to do it in quiet, but really, well, I don't know if he can, if we ever know if he can, like, hear everything, or if he's just kind of, like, in a state of paralysis. He, I don't know.
Well, he's got a muscle relaxer and something that slows his heart rate, which he does say in a later movie. So that's a good point.
I think he can probably hear everything that's going on, I would assume.
Probably.
Yeah.
And just, like, is, for all other intents and purposes, there. So he'd have to have his eyes shut the entire time, basically. Right. But... yeah,
yeah. Don't fall asleep and like roll over in the middle of it.
It was fucking wild. And the thing is, though, I know we've kind of talked about this with other twists recently, but like, this could never be pulled off like nowadays. Like, this would get ruined on social media like instantaneously. So like 2004, it just hit hard, especially because, you know,
agreed,
you just don't know what's coming at all.
Yeah, yeah. But all right. Well, let's get to some coffee talk here. I wanted to talk about...
I'm just
about...
getting darker and darker. I just keep shifting more and more.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about how that was, like, such a good twist, because while he was getting up, he did a big ol' stretch, and it still was, like, awestruck, even though it was, like, the goofiest pose as he's, like, stretching it out,
and
you know?
I just like... noticed, too, like, Adam's reaction was a little just over the top, like... The acting is not top notch in this movie. We know that.
Yeah.
Although I'll never knock on Danny Glover. He plays a great distressed cop. Like, always.
Agreed.
Yeah.
It's awesome. But
let's.
Oh, like, just looks totally shocked, but it kind of looks shitty at the same time. But
I mean, I guess
it's not gonna knock
kind of
on
appropriate.
Him. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I'd think.
This guy that's been dead for the last 8 hours in front of me just stood up. What the fuck?
Well, and then the last piece I want to talk about, Cary Elwes cutting his foot off. Good scene for a bit. The first cut through the actual foot is done very well. However, when he completes this, I don't know who was in the makeup department, but my God, is he ghost white or what? Oh my God. Like,
yeah, they painted him up really good.
Oh, he was just like shaking.
Probably what it would be like. I don't know if you cut your foot off. Probably get a little pale. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, in that same scene, after he cuts his foot off and is going to shoot Adam, he somehow has the wherewithal to hit him in the shoulder as Adam is moving around the entire fucking... Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, that's probably why I hit him in the shoulder, because the guy was moving. Wasn't what he was aiming for. That was just dumb luck.
Or did he mean it to be non-lethal, though, right? I'm pretty sure.
I don't think so. I think he was...
He said he did.
He cut his fucking leg off at that point. Man was desperate. He was trying to kill him.
Yeah, I think so, too. But according to him, it was just a shoulder shot. Anything else, boys?
I got one last thing. 2004, the time where we were, like, really just barely getting out of VHS days. And Danny Glover is listening in to this boob tube TV, hears a fire alarm over the static of the VHS. It's just not plausible. Not in the slightest.
Yeah, they don't really have HD audio back then. I can't imagine. Mm-mm. Yeah.
Not even HD video.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of a reach, but that's what makes him a good cop, Jim.
Yeah, pick those things out of the static, out of the noise.
No, I was just going to say, you know how we mentioned on the Signs podcast how Scary Movie 3 just kind of like ruins certain moments where you don't really remember which part actually takes place? Not that I go that far, but Scary Movie 4, when Shaq and Dr. Phil are in that room... And Dr. Phil cuts his foot off, and he's like, okay, I'm ready. And Shaq just goes, wrong foot. Mother.
And you have the reveal that Dr. Phil's actually an electrician, not a therapist.
Oh, my God.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
I don't know.
All right. Well, yeah, let's get the scores. Jim, you want to lead off?
I'll lead off. I give this an 8 out of 10. It holds a very strong place in my heart. I think it's way too original to rate much lower than that. Yeah, it certainly has some problems, but for 1.2 million, I can't be surprised that it does have problems.
Okay. Yep. All right. Anthony.
Right there with you, Jim. I settled at an 8. The movie's still good. Like, went back and rewatched it. It, like, holds up, you know, at least originality-wise, like you said, a lot of the stuff maybe becomes a little problematic when you really sit down and look at it, but I can't.
Yeah, nothing else has captured this originality. Yeah, I don't want, especially in the horror genre.
I'm not gonna nitpick a movie 10 years or whatever it is, 17 years later, because of the, you know, what it looks like now. I'm just gonna go up kind of based on my first time seeing it and how amazed by it I was. I just want to kind of give the movie its due props. You know, where it hit me back then, I can't knock it now for what it looks like. Score, and I think it's very deserving. So
I did rip this one apart pretty hard, and I want to note that the reason I did that was for the content, because it's just fun. Some of the shit to point out is a lot of fun, but to echo what you guys are saying, I also am at an 8 out of 10 because of, Anthony, what you just said. First time I watched this movie, I don't think I slept for like 3 days. Now, granted, I was 9.
And I can't get over the fact it's too hard. You know, a lot of people now who remember would obviously get it. But like back then, you guys remember, like, this was the movie to see. It was like, have you seen Saw?
Yep.
Like, you need to see Saw. Yeah. Like, it's fucked up.
Yeah, it was talked about everywhere.
Right.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that is what greenlit a lot of sequels that did not live up to this movie, and they actually greenlit the sequel while this was still in
theaters. It's amazing they pumped those out year after year, like one every
year. Yeah, because it was like literally every year, like you said.
Yeah,
and they were actually trying to write plot too. That's the thing. Like, that's why they're so bad, is they just dig into this plot.
It got
so
too convoluted.
Oh, they're like, one thing didn't work so much in the last one. Well, that's okay. Number 5 will just show a flashback of this guy actually doing this. It's just like, wait a fucking minute.
They're all on HBO right now. I kind of feel the need to like sit down and continue watching them.
Yeah, I know.
If you could stop at two, you could stop at
Yeah, two is still a good movie.
In my opinion, the third one, it's one of the darkest movies I've ever seen. Like, I think that in the third, it got to the point where you were meant to be tortured the entire movie. Because it's about a guy who like, his son got killed in a car accident, and he can't forgive people. To me, that's the one where I was like, this has gone too far. Like, then the fourth and fifth and sixth, they weren't even, like, trying anymore to, like, make a good movie at that point. But the third one was trying really fucking hard, and that was Darren Lynn Bozeman, who also made, I believe, Jigsaw. Right, Anthony?
I'd have to look it up. Jigsaw was fucking terrible.
Yeah, it was not good. No. But yeah, Jim, if you wanna, you know, if you wanna kill a Sunday with 7 hours of that, I would recommend, you know, eating your meals first, you know, doing it in a dark room, probably, you know, really just feeling like a piece of shit all day.
Yeah, I'd have to do it by myself too, because Angie's not interested.
Yeah, I mean, not many. These movies, you are kind of fucked up as you're watching them. You're like, what am I watching?
Yeah, why am I putting myself through this?
Yeah, but anyway, so that will wrap up episode 49 of Saw. And leading into next week, episode 50, it sounds like the return of trivia, if I heard you right there, Anthony.
We got time for an ass whooping.
Also, one of the biggest reviews we've ever done, Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. We're going to the Shire. We're going to Middle-earth.
Fuck.
We're going to Sauron.
We're going to the Shire then promptly leaving it.
That's okay. We get there for a bit. We drink some pints. And
you see some fireworks.
You know,
it's all good.
Yeah. I'm excited, boys, because I think you both are higher knowledged on the Tolkien series than I am, but I'm very excited to go there. I'm very excited to see Boromir do his fucking thing.
Currently streaming on HBO for those people who are slackers and don't own like three copies of these movies.
If you don't own at least two, what the fuck are you doing?
I think that I'm going to tell you right now what my part's going to be is talking about Boromir. I'm going to just go out there and say that's what my part will be, but I'm excited. Like, let's fucking go.
Yeah.
That
very music, very
that,
hyped.
That music is going to kill me. I haven't seen
should resound the hype horn for this.
Yeah, I mean,
we might have some tricks up our sleeve for this episode. It's the 50th episode. Bring the heat, man.
I'm not guaranteeing it, but Orlando Bloom may make an appearance.
That's what I heard.
So,
have you talked to our other possible guest?
I got him on the pager.
Adam will be back next week. I want to throw that out there. Don't want to just like sprinkle that in, but Adam will be on because again, he can nerd out better than I can on this. You guys can. It's gonna be a great fucking pod. It's gonna be a good time. But while we finish up this episode, Jim, if you are on the Twitter, where can you find us?
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at @weave_seen_that. You can like us on Facebook or email us at seenthatpodcast@gmail.com. That's SCENE, thatpodcast@gmail.com.
All right. Well, that wraps up Saw. We played a game. I don't know if we won or not, but, you know, 8 out of 10 is a pretty high score.
Straight eights, I feel like, is a win.
Yeah.
It's definitely a win. But, you know, Jim, I admire you if you watch the remainder of The Seven and then, you know, go see Spiral in theaters.
I will wait for Spiral to stream. I'm not going to pay to see that.
Okay. Well, that one didn't ever stream, by the way. So all these other
big-time
movies got nothing on Spiral that probably grossed, like, maybe $4 million. I don't know. But, all right. Well, that's it for this week's episode. As always, I'm Scott.
I'm Anthony.
And I'm Jim. And roll credits.